testimony? Anybody have anything? Here comes everybody from the kitchen, from munching on something. Okay. Peggy, when are you moving up Michigander? Oh, 10 days. Okay. They're going to be Michiganders. Locked out. Govern it. Yeah. Okay, we are in Ezra. 10. Should wrap it up. Now, if I start reading all those names about verse 20, I will soon hear snores. So, it's kind of funny. The Bible covers 6,000 years of history if you run it back to Adam. And then if you run in a couple thousand more for the gap. And this part of the Bible in Ezra is about 2,600 years ago, 2,500 years ago. And you would tend to think, what's that got to do with us? Well, there's something in here. And so the idea is that we're going to keep studying all of the Bible. We recognize that the apostle for this day is generally the Apostle Paul, but if something doesn't contradict with Paul, then it's pretty safe for us. So we're in Ezra 10, and it's got a strange thing. And there are a lot of strange things in the Bible, and if the Lord wants to explain why, he can. If he doesn't want to, that doesn't matter to me. And so we'll just kind of read through chapter 10 or portions of it. And see if we can get anything out of this. Let's go and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand your words. And you said man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So I'm assuming that includes Ezra. And I ask that you to help us to understand the big picture and possibly something that we can apply to ourselves this year, 2021. And I pray you'd help us to be good students, faithful students of your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Ezra. Ezra, Nehemiah. Okay, then Esther. Okay, remember that God made an agreement with a nation called Israel around 1400, 1450 BC. And so that agreement between God and Israel gave them certain privileges, but to whom much is given, much is responsible or required. So because they got all those privileges, they also had certain obligations they needed to meet. And if they didn't meet them, then God readily judged them, punished them, either by a foreign country coming in and conquering them, or by no rain for the crops, or by weevils eating their crops, or some other way to get their attention so that they'd come back to God. Okay, and Ezra is occurring after the Assyrian army. So all these fights are in the Middle East, and right there, the idea of the Middle East, the Bible is focused around the Middle East, and so is the world. We're not going to change that. And so President Trump recognized Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel, you know, on their 70th anniversary after becoming a nation. And that's a miracle in itself, if you just can imagine that. And that right there is what proves the Bible's word of God, the nation of Israel, as far as that goes. And so after Assyria conquered the 10 northern tribes around 700 BC, so about 2,700 years ago, then 100 years later, Babylon, or modern-day Iraq, conquered Judah, and they became subjects under them for 70 years. And that was predicted. The 70 years was predicted by Jeremiah, and it came right true, perfect. Then Media Persia comes in play, and that's modern-day Iran. So they come in play, and the king ordered them or allowed the Jews to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild their temple. They started doing that, okay, and a lesser governmental authority stopped the building. Haggai and Zechariah said, we need to get back to building, delayed the project for a while. They got back to it, and now they've rebuilt it. Now they're wanting to dedicate it or be a part of it. But there is a problem. And Ezra chapter 9, Ezra reveals what the problem is. And the problem is that Jewish people married outside of their religious faith, Judaism. They married outside of that, and they married some people, women. They married, the men married these women that were worshipers of the god of Moab, and that'd be Chemosh. And a person would say, well, God's kind of a bigot if he doesn't want people, other people to worship other things. Yeah, but in order to worship Chemosh, they had to kill babies and to sacrifice them. So if you think that's okay, if a person thinks that's okay, well, then I guess they don't mind killing innocent children. But that's what the Moabites are doing. Okay, and so in chapter 9, which we read last week, Ezra was confessing this sin. And in chapter 10, verse 1, it says, now when Ezra had prayed and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God. Okay, they had one temple, so everybody knew about this one location. So it's in a city. Jerusalem's about 200 some acres. And so he's kind of the head of priest, and he's in front of the Jewish house of God. And he's praying, crying, sackcloth. And of course, this is going to draw attention. It said, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept sore. And then it starts naming some these guys. Then that guy, Shechaniah, the son of Jehiel, one of the sons of Elam, answered and said unto Ezra, we have trespassed against our God and have taken strange gods of the people of the land, yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing. Okay, strange wives. Okay, strange wives. We're going to see that over and over through here. Strange wives. So it would seem strange, I guess, that what's going to happen is that Ezra is going to tell these men who married these strange wives, and it's just not meaning they're weird, okay, these weirdo wives, okay, he's said, you got to divorce them, you got to get rid of them. So people say, wow, why didn't they just win them or love them or do something like that? Well, evidently it's beyond that. Okay, so you have several examples in the Bible when God reaches his limit. Okay, and when God reaches his limit, an example is the flood. Another example is Sodom and Gomorrah. And the pattern is about the same. When God reaches his limit, it is when, let's use the word aliens or fallen angels, take on flesh. Then they start to have children with women, so their children are, I don't know, a combination fallen angel, woman, and then they get perverted and bring in animals in this mix, and then it brings in perverted diseases, and then what is pushing it in the religious part is they're killing the killing of children, okay, the sacrificing of children. And all you have to do is go back in history and you can read these things. And people say, well, fortunately, that's not occurring anymore. It still is occurring. It still is occurring. It's behind the scenes. It's often hidden. It was probably hidden back then. Okay, and this was outside of the city of Jerusalem. If you go to Jerusalem and if you take a tour bus, they can come out the south gate, And when they come out the south gate, the bus will curve around the wall. And then if the bus driver is giving you a tour, he'll say that this is the Valley of Hinnon. And the Valley of Hinnon is when moms and dads brought their infant children to the priest and gave it to the priest, and then he sacrificed that child to the pagan gods. So if a person approves of that, well, they ought to be fortunate they're not the infant. Now, this is what goes on still today. And remember that Satan, when he tempted Jesus, he offered him the world kingdoms if he worshiped, if Satan worshiped him. So knowing that, in usually the standard operating procedure, if somebody gets world power or international power, you can mark it down. They have probably had a personal meeting with Satan and sold their soul to get this power. And then Satan gives it to them. Now, some Hollywood actors are coming out and saying this. And some of them have been talking about the abuse that's been taking place behind the scenes. Harvey Weinstein is just a tip of the iceberg. Okay, and so this is what Ezra, this aspect is what Ezra is saying we need to get rid of. And I would agree. I mean, would you not agree to get rid of, bring judgment on somebody who's been sacrificing children to pagan deities? Yeah, they deserve the death sentence. Okay, and when you see these or understand this, this is going on, then we're seeing more why God, why he flooded a world, why he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, why he destroyed certain nations through the line. And sadly, this is what's happening in America too, and it's around the world. Okay, so verse 2, strange wives. From the natural world, a stranger in the Bible is simply a foreigner. Okay, so for the Israeli nation to be a, quote, citizen of the nation, you were Jewish. Okay, so that's how that began. And then anybody else, a foreigner, Jewish proselyte, were considered strangers, but they had one law for everybody. Okay, so certain countries have this going on in America, Australia, whatnot. Okay, and so you just kind of study these things out. And this, from the natural world, a strange wife would have been a foreigner. From the supernatural world, a strange wife would have been a combination of supernatural fallen angels cohabiting with women. And this is a pretty raunchy situation. Okay, so verse 3, he says this. Now, therefore, let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives. Okay, put away, divorce. Divorce them. Okay, now this, okay, when you read something like that, a person might say, well, look at there, Bible's endorsing divorce and all that stuff. And then a person might run off and say, well, then I can get in March. No, he's just giving you a record of back in those days. This is not doctrinal footing for us in the New Testament. Okay, but this is between God and Israel, and the Lord treats the Gentile nations a little bit differently. Okay, and so it says this, to put away all the wives and such as are born of them. Take the children with them. According to the counsel of my Lord and all those that tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law. Okay, according to the law, that would be according to the Mosaic law, where they write him a bill of divorcement and send him out. Okay, and so that's what Ezra advised. And the people followed that advisement. And the Lord honored that because they're putting away these things in order to be holy with God. And God blessed them for it. Okay, then verse 4. He says, arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will have it with thee. Be of good courage and do it. Then arose Ezra and made the chief priests, the Levites, and all the Israel to swear that they should do according to this word, and they swear. So there's common thought in American culture that you're not supposed to swear, neither by heaven, neither by earth. You find that in the Sermon on the Mount. Technically, it's not a forbidden thing to do, but personally, I like to play it safe and use the words of an affirmation and just say, I affirm. But still, it's still there. It's in the Bible. And then verse 6, then Ezra rose up from before the house of the Lord and went into the chamber of Johanan, the son of Eliashib. And when he came thither, he did eat no bread nor drink water, for he mourned because of the transgression of them that had been carried away. Carried away, meaning carried away to Babylon. So when they were carried away from Judah to Babylon, if you remember what they did to Daniel and his three buddies, they made him eunuchs. Okay, so, and then they brought in that Babylonian culture, the pagan god. And at that time, the Iraqi or Babylonian culture had multiple gods. One god was called the moon god. And Allah simplified everything and brought everything under the moon god, and then he called him Allah. Okay, that's the previous called the moon god. And so that's what Muhammad did. And of course, he brought it in. Muhammad was an extreme epileptic, and he would often have epileptic fits. And while he's having these fits, he would mumble jumbo stuff and then somebody to write this stuff down. And some of that became part of what's called the Quran. Okay, and they got a lot of strange ideas in the Muslim faith. And the thing about Muhammad, and all a person has to do is know this, if you happen to deal with a Muslim, you do have to be careful. But you just ask them questions, and you ask them simply something like, you say Muhammad was a prophet, and they'll say yes. Okay, does a prophet mean telling the truth? Future, they'll say yes, and then just ask them to give you a couple of his prophecies, and when they can't do it, just sincerely say, well, I don't understand. Why would you call somebody a prophet that you can't even give any of their prophecies? Sadly, when you witness to somebody, it's actually easier to witness to somebody who has zero religious background, because that way you don't have to tear down anything. When they have some sort of a religious background, unfortunately, you have to get them to doubt. Depends how steep they are in it. You have to get them to begin to doubt that, and then possibly when they doubt that, then they'll be able to consider something else. And so you can do that in a nice way and just innocently and start asking questions, and you'll discover that when you talk to people about their faith, most people don't know what they believe. And that's including Baptists. They really don't. And it's a sad commentary on that. Okay, so this is what Ezra's doing. This is what God approved of under the Old Testament. That's not meaning the same is true in the New Testament. Okay, and then verse 7, it said, they made proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem unto all the children of the captivity, that they should gather themselves together under Jerusalem. So this is about, I think, 5,000-6,000 people, I think. I'm not quite sure. I forget the numbers. And they're coming together under this. Verse 8, that whosoever would not come within 3 days, according to the counsel of the princes and the elders, all his substance should be forfeited. Now, I don't know about that, but okay, that's what they did. I don't think that's a fine and hunky-dory thing to do. But that's what they chose to do. And when you have a religion coupled with their political world, often those were intermingle and they'll do certain things. Where in the New Testament, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And the church is based on a voluntary acceptance. Okay, that's how the church is supposed to be run. You can voluntarily walk in. You can voluntarily walk out. You can voluntarily go to sleep. And all that stuff. Okay, and so that's how the Lord has it in the New Testament. It's supposed to be voluntary. Now, I know the Gentiles want to lord it over people, and then they'll try to get their way that way. But the problem with that is you don't know who really cares. And where the Lord wants us to be willing. He wants us to voluntarily do these things. So that's the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament. And then verse 8, he himself separated from the congregation of those that have been carried away. Okay, so this is a thing that they did under the Old Testament, and the Lord honored it. Okay, now I want to take a little bit, look at that strange wives thing. If you would, hold your finger here, go to 2 Kings 11:8. I'd say 1 Kings. I'm sorry, 1 Kings. Okay, now here's where Solomon messed up. And of course, you know, the Bible shows that Solomon was a very wise man or very knowledgeable. But somewhere along the line, he really messed up. So when you look at chapter 11 of 1 Kings, you read down through there, right off the bat, it says King Solomon loved many strange women. Weirdos. Okay, these strange women are, their nationalities given there, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, Hittites. And I'm not going to get into it, but they were part of a perverted religious structure. I mean, they were flat perverts. I mean, they're just wicked perverts brought this into a religious structure. For some reason, Solomon could not look through all the makeup and jewelry and fancy clothes, and he loved strange women. And that's all those people in verse 1. Leviticus 18 gives a detailed X-rated analysis of what these people were into. So it's pretty raunchy. Okay, and then if you read, skim down there, you'll see in verse 5, the Ashtoreth. Ashtoreth is the basis of Astarte or Easter. What the Catholic Church claims to have done is they take pagan idolatry and Christianize it, and that's where Easter comes in play and Christmas comes in play. Okay, the early colonists would not celebrate Christmas because they knew it was connected to the Catholic Church. They wouldn't do it. Okay, now that's the early colonists. Of course, remember the early colonists fled from the persecution of the Catholic Church. And so that's why it was very fresh in their minds. And the same holds true with Easter and Halloween. So all three of those hold true, and witchcraft has a lot going on during those nights. Okay, so Ashtoreth, that'd be the female goddess of the Zidonians. Zidon, that's where Jezebel came from. Zidon. Okay, and then verse 6, Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord. So he brought all this stuff in a Jewish temple. Verse 7, then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, right next to it. And for Molech. Molech is an owl god. Okay? If you've heard of the Bohemian Grove, now has been shut down, to the best of my knowledge. 3,000 acres in Redwood Forest had a men's club where the movers and shakers, world people, would go there and have meetings, and they would bow and worship a 40-foot statue of an owl, and that was called Molech. Henry Kissinger, Reagan, Bush, all these men would meet at this location Okay, and then they would kind of have their men's week out. And it was just pretty raunchy. And back then, they say that's where truly they chose the presidents and then to manipulate the elections to make it occur that way. Why would American men worship a pagan owl? You know, and that's because all this is Satan behind the scenes. Okay, and it's there in the Bohemian Grove. It's in the Redwood National Park. It's there. Recently, I think about a year ago, it was sold. And so I think all that stopped about a year ago, a little over a year, year and a half ago. So that's kind of a good sign, I think. Okay, so that's why. And then if you would, if you're in Ezra, well, let's see, here's First Kingdom. Let's go to Ezra 13, verse 27. Did I say Ezra? Nehemiah. Sorry, there's no 13 Ezra. You're probably wondering where that was. Nehemiah, 13, verse 27. Eventually I'll get it. Okay, if you run down, starting in verse 23, you'll see the Jews married wives of Ashdod, Ammon, Moab. Okay, that's 23. And Nehemiah had a different method. Look at Nehemiah's method. Ezra's method was to pluck out his own hair. Nehemiah's method was to pluck out their hair. That's verse 25. He was kind of, he'd probably been a ruckman of their day. Whap him upside the head or something like that. And then verse 26, it says, did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him, who is beloved of his God. Why was he beloved of his God? Probably because of David. And God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. And then he transgressed, verse 27, against our God in marrying strange wives. So all this is Israel. So we put it under the heading of Israel, between God and Israel. Okay, and I guess about the only thing you and I can take out of it, young people take out of this, is, you know, your prospect of marriage, whatever, make sure you are in agreement in your faith. You don't want to be fighting that. I mean, make sure that is, and make sure you know, they say when you go into marriage, keep both eyes wide open, and then when you get married, close one eye. Okay, and so it's tough enough, and so you don't want to be going to something thinking that you're going to change each other's mind. You ought to be of the same mind in as much as you possibly can before you say, I do. I mean, that'll make that an easier transition, that's for sure. Okay, and so that's about the very simply thing we can get out. If you would, let's go to the back of the Bible, Jude. Right before Revelation. This little letter written by Jude, one of the apostles. And this is why the Lord blew Sodom and Gomorrah off the map. So Jude verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. Okay, and that's how Hollywood runs, fornication. And going after strange flesh, unusual flesh, weird flesh, not normal flesh. It's weird stuff. And set forth for an example of suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Okay, and that right there is the basis of Hollywood. If a person gets into the thick of Hollywood, you're going to find some of the most perverted, corrupt people and beings who are masquerading as people in the world. And some child actors have come out and have tried to rat this out try to tell people, but nobody's paying attention to them. Okay, and this goes back for years. Even little Shirley Temple later in life talked about an experience she and her mother had with some Hollywood big shot that turned pervert. And that's Shirley Temple way up back in. And if you analyze some of them cute little Shirley Temple, some of those first Shirley Temple stuff, man, it is not good. It's really raunchy what they were implying. Okay, and sure, some of it's, you know, cute and fine. You know, I like the Heidi one myself. Okay, but you've got some that's, you know, kind of, it's really suspicious. And this goes back in the 1900s, early 1900s, obviously. And as you're coming through behind the scenes, there is some pretty bad stuff going on. And it's amazing God has had mercy in our country after seeing all this. So Ezra 10, verse 9. So this is what's taking place, and they're trying to clean up the show, and they're trying to get right with God. Okay, Ezra 10, verse 9, they're trembling because of this matter. It said, then all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves together into Jerusalem within 3 days. It was the ninth month of the 12th day of the month. So ninth month would have been November. Our November, that's about the time, so late fall. 20th day of the month, and all the people sat in the street of the house of God, trembling because of this matter and for the great rain. So that evidently a huge rainstorm came in to get their attention. Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, ye have transgressed and have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. Now therefore make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers and do his pleasure and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. So get rid of them. So it's like a cancer. This is like a cancer. So what do they do with cancer? They try to cut it out. Then all the congregation answered, said with a loud voice, as thou hast said, we must do. But the people are many, and it is time of much rain, and we are not able to stand without. Neither too is this day a day of one day or two, for we are many that have transgressed this thing. But now our rulers and all the congregation stand, and let all them which have taken strange wives in our cities come at an appointed times, and with them the elders of every city and the judges thereof, until the fierce wrath of our God for this matter be turned from us. Okay, this time of year, if we would have a gully washer, a bad rain, maybe hailstorm, and if guys got soybeans in the field, you know, it would knock the beans out of the pods. It would definitely get people's attention. So that's how God got their attention. And then when you read 15 following, and if you read all those names, all we can take from that is remember that God keeps accurate records. He's writing things down. He's keeping track, meaning angels are writing things down. They're keeping his track of all this stuff. And someday for the lost, the books will be opened, and then they're going to give an account. For the saved, our books are cleared because of the blood of Christ. Okay, and then awards will be passed out. So from then on out, you just got a bunch of names after names after names after names. And then the last verse, and all these had taken strange wives, and some of them had wives by whom they had children. Okay, and so these are all these names you can read up through there. And these are the ones. So Ezra, what he's doing is he's demonstrating that we need to prepare our hearts to seek after the Lord. And that's why God named this book after him. So next time we'll start Nehemiah and go into the rebuilding of the Jewish wall. Okay, let's go and pray. Lord, I do thank you for your words, and I do pray you'd help us to be faithful to your words. I pray you'd help us recognize that this is Old Testament ideas. There's some practical things we can apply to our day, and I pray you'd help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.